So I brought this water up because, for one, I am a thirsty person, so I'll drink some. But for two, because did you know that the body is composed of 60% water? Did anybody know that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Hey. So it's about 60% in adults. In children, it's 75%. That's a lot of water in your body, okay? So that means you have to consume a lot of water in your body to maintain that. Otherwise, your body does some crazy things, which I'll explain in a second. This is a very big jug, yes. So it is 127.82 fluid ounces. This is about the amount of water that we need to consume in a day. That's a lot of water. I took, you know, those Pyrex dishes. Sorry, I'm speaking really loud. You know those Pyrex dishes? So I took the 32-ounce one. It's the biggest one I have. And it took me 4 times to fill this jug up. That's crazy. 4 times to fill this jug up. And as I was reading through the scriptures, as I was studying, as I was looking into what this living water is, why Jesus said it was so important, why he kind of directed her away from the well and to the living water, I realized that, or obviously I already knew, but that Jesus wanted, he knew that she was thirsty, not just for water, but spiritual thirst, right? She was seeking after life, but in all the wrong ways. When Pastor David asked me if I would preach, I was very hesitant, and I said I would pray about it. And I think most of the time when we say that, we're like, I really don't want to, but we'll see if God says yes. And so I prayed about it, and I felt like God was saying, yes, I want you to preach. And the next step was to figure out what to preach on, and there was like 8 things to choose from. And so I was like, okay, let's see, I could do this, I could do that, and I could do this, there's so many options. And I went to Youth Workers Connection in Denver, and I really felt like, that was a great, great time, but during that time, there was 3 separate occasions that God spoke to me, and he spoke through the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And I was like, okay, God, I get the picture. I understand. This is what you want me to talk about. I will talk about it. Use me. Speak through me. I want to do your will. And so here we are. We're here today. We're speaking about the Jewish woman. And the Samaritan woman. I'm just going to warn you, I'm incredibly awkward. So it's probably going to be a little awkward. And I think it's okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm known as the awkward queen, so just bear with me. Please laugh at anything I say that's remotely funny. It'll help me feel better up here. It'll make you feel better down there. It'll just make everything better. But let's dive into the story. So first off, Jesus had just been with Nicodemus, and he had this whole conversation with Nicodemus about what it meant to be reborn. And Jesus needed to go to Galilee. And so Jesus was on his way to Galilee. And Jesus, in his journey as a Jewish man, he could have chosen one of 2 ways to go. So he could have gone around Samaria to Galilee, to avoid the Samaritans, because the Jewish people and the Samaritans, they don't mix. They don't get along. You guys know that, right? And so Jesus decided, you know what? I'm going to go through Samaria. That's where I need to go. And so he heads through Samaria, and it's about noon, and he gets to to Jacob's well. In chapter 4, verse 7, it says, soon after, the Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. So as I got to this point, when I was studying, I realized I didn't know before that people didn't go to the well at noontime. That wasn't a time you went, because that was one of the hottest times in the day. They went either in the evening or in the morning. And I'm like, okay, well, why would this woman go at noontime? I know that she had these five husbands, and she's living with someone who's not her husband now. Maybe it's because she's trying to avoid these people. And here she is. She's heading to the well, and she sees someone, and she has a choice to make, right? She has a choice. She could either continue to the well to see this person who she could tell is a Jewish man because of the way that he's dressed. She could tell he's Jewish. Or she could wait, go back, and wait to come another time. And what she decided to do, she decided to keep on going to the well and to maybe interact with this Jewish man. So she does. So he reaches out to her, and he speaks to her, he says, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would have asked me, and I would give you living water." Verse 11, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." So as I said before, this woman had had five husbands, and the man that she's living with was not her husband. And Jesus, when he talked to her, he talked with kindness. And this woman obviously was looking for something. She didn't know. Hi, someone's waving at me back there. She didn't know she was thirsty spiritually. She knew she was physically thirsty. And I think a lot of times we don't realize that we're spiritually thirsty, just like this woman, right? We don't realize that we have been going and going and going, and we haven't been connected to the source, the true vine, as John 15 says it. He is a vine and we are the branches. We haven't been connected, or we've been trying to do our own thing apart from him. And this woman, she didn't know Jesus. She had heard of the Messiah, but she had been seeking for some sort of satisfaction. And we don't know if these men were men who had died, had divorced her. We're not really sure what exactly her story is. Some of them could have died before. Some of them could have divorced her. We don't know. But regardless, she had gotten married five times and now was with another person. And so the story continues. The woman says, "Please, sir, the woman says, "give me this water, then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You've certainly spoken the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet." I'm going to stop there real fast. Jesus didn't condemn her. He had the opportunity to say, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you living this way?" But he chose not to. She was a Samaritan. Jesus could have not even said anything to her, and she could have chosen not to interact with him because she was Jewish, or because he was Jewish. But she chose to engage in this conversation with him. That speaks a lot. One second, I need some water. She could have said to him anything else besides, "I don't have a husband." She could have lied. She could have hid. She could have decided to not tell him the truth. But she chose to speak truth in that moment. And I think that's a very powerful thing. When we have the opportunity when someone asks us something that's a hard question and we have the opportunity, what do we do? Do we speak the truth or do we hide? And we see before this when she was coming to the well, she was kind of hiding, but you see her starting to kind of come out of her shell. Now she's opening up to Jesus. So the story continues. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews, but the time is coming. Indeed, it is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who worship him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. He comes, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Jesus revealed himself to her, that he was the Messiah, this woman who has this crazy story, this woman that other people in the town spoke or whispered things under their breath about her, this woman who had a reputation, and Jesus chose to reveal himself to her. I think that's really cool because it speaks to who Jesus is, that Jesus isn't choosing the people who deserve love, that Jesus isn't choosing the people who have done all the right things, who are good enough. Jesus can choose and does choose anyone. Jesus chose us. I don't know about you, but I have a bit of a story. And I don't know what your story is. I don't know what your past is, but God knows. And God chose you because he loves you. Amen. And we look outside these walls and we see the people around us in our community. God loves them. He loves them so much, and he calls us to be his hands and feet. He calls us to go and reach out to them to share the good news. And what happens to this woman when Jesus proclaims who he is, when he interacts with her in such a sweet way, when he offers her living water, this everlasting life, as a free gift, and he says, "I am the Messiah," what does she do? And the story says, John 4:27. "Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, 'What do you want with her?' or 'Why are you talking to her?' The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?' So the people came streaming from the village to see him." So this woman, Jesus shares who he is with her. And what's her first response? "I need to tell everyone. This man who heard my story, who knew my story, who knew me, chose to interact with me. He's the Messiah. I need to tell everyone. Everybody needs to know of this Jesus, of this Messiah." And what do we do? What have we done? So we're in our lives, right? All of us are many different ages. I'm 30, if you didn't know that. Woo! I don't know why it's clapping, but it's okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. And we have some that are, I don't know what the oldest person here is, but I applaud you. You are awesome. And we have some a lot younger. But our stories are all different. And God meets us where we're at, right? God knows our story, and he meets us where we're at. And when that living water, that abundant life, that salvation that he offers us dwells inside of us, when we first get to know him, There's some excitement there, right? A new believer, when they first get to know Jesus, there's excitement. And they just want to tell everyone because they're excited about it. No? Anybody experienced this before? How about for you? No? Maybe? Yeah? Okay, we got some. This new believer has this excitement. And when we've been connected to Jesus for so long, when we've given our life to Jesus, and life kind of pounds at us and drags us down, and we find out we're not getting money back on our tax return, and we find that, so we have to pay, you know, $1,000 or whatever. We find out that our car has been broken into. We find out that someone we love has just died. We found out that we are going to lose our house. We find out that whatever the situation is, it drags us down, right? And we start to get weary, and we start to grow tired, because life is hard. Life is painful. Does that, you guys feel that way too? I know I feel that way. Life is hard and life is painful, but we have this living water, the spring of life that dwells inside of us. And I think when things get hard, we tend to kind of isolate ourselves. We tend to kind of bury ourselves down like an ostrich. You know what an ostrich is, right? You know what they do, like, when they're afraid and stuff? So they have this big old body that's huge. They're, like, super tall. And they, like, dig up the sand and they bury their head in the ground. But everything else is all exposed. Their head is just in the ground. So you can still see them. You know that they're there. They're not hiding. They just can't see you. So they don't know what's coming. And I think that we do that sometimes. When things get hard, when things get overwhelming, instead of returning to the source, instead of returning to Jesus, instead of going deeper, instead of reaching out to people, we pull away. We pull away and we try to figure things out on our own. We try to make things happen. We try to fix things because, I don't know about you, I'm a fixer. I want to make things better. I want to make things good for people. When I see someone's hurting, I want to help them. When I see someone is struggling, I want to help them. And that's what we need to do for each other. We need to look to our brothers and sisters around us, look outside of ourselves, and when we're struggling, reach out to other people and look to see when we're not struggling, look to see who around us is struggling and reach out to them. We don't want to let that spring of life, that living water in us be quenched, right? We don't want that light to be hidden. And so this woman, she decides, I know this guy, you guys need to know him. I was a little skeptical of him at first because he's Jewish and, you know, we don't really mix, but you need to know him. And so she goes and she tells everyone about Jesus. Everyone about Jesus. And I think it's so beautiful that God chose this woman with her story and her reputation to go and speak to the masses. And so these people, they had the choice when she came to listen to them. Oh, one sec, real fast. So when she made that decision, we could tell that something changed inside of her, right? She went from this woman that was like, I'm going to avoid these people. I don't want to have contact with them because, like, there's some bad blood there, you know? Like, she decided to forget that and to go after them. And I think that's something that's really powerful, is that sometimes we let things that our insecurities, our fears, kind of hold us back. They hold us back to talking to the people, to reaching out to the people that once said things to us that weren't so nice, right? Because we want that approval. We want to be known. We want to be seen. We don't want to do things that are painful. It's natural in us to choose not to do things that are painful. I told you I'm a thirsty person. I get it from my dad. He's a very passionate preacher. And I don't know if it's a Puerto Rican thing or not, but I blame him on the dry mouth thing. Some of you know who my dad is. He's great, but I blame him on the dry mouth thing. So I'm sorry I have to take so many water breaks. Thank you for laughing. anyways, what I was saying is, so she, if you laugh, you make me laugh. So she chose to go to these people, the same people that treated her poorly, and to share the good news. She made that decision. So something obviously had changed in her. She shifted from being like, oh, I'm going to stay away from you, to you're like, hey, how's it going? Have you heard about this Jesus dude? You need to know him. And I think that's just amazing. I know I said it like 6 times, but it just, every time it's just like, wow, this is so awesome. And so what happened? These people listened to her. They had the choice. They had the choice to either ignore her, to cast her aside, to say, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. But what did they do? They listened to her. And they're like, hey, we want to know this Jesus, dude. We want to take us to him. And so she takes them to him. And they go, verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not only just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Wow. Wow. Again, so this woman has a reputation, but Jesus meets her where she's at. He offers her eternal life, the living water. And she's a little skeptical at first. And then he reveals himself. She speaks truth when he asks her a tough question. He reveals himself to her because of her honesty. And she goes and reaches all these people for Jesus. Many more came to believe. And God chose to use her. God chooses to use you. God chooses to use me. Something that I'm going to be very open with you guys. When I was 6, I felt a little calling on my life of music. And I remember in Sunday school, I had this children's pastor named Pastor Cal. Some of you have heard this story before. And he's like playing music and singing. And all of a sudden, I just feel like God saying, I want you to do that someday. I'm like, 6 years old, this is crazy. And I just feel this thing in my heart, like, I want you to do that someday. And I'm like, okay. And so, like, I guess I tell my family and stuff, and my aunt has this boyfriend at the time. He has this guitar he's not using, so he gives me a guitar. And then so I'm using this guitar. It's pretty beat up, but it's a good first guitar. And then my church decides, I'm playing with that guitar at church, and I'm, I don't know, 12 years old, and they're like, you know, you need a new guitar because this one's not working. So they get me a new guitar and all these things. And so God is just constantly reminding me what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm like, okay, like obviously this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And not only did I feel the calling of doing music, but I also felt the calling of writing music. And it's a scary thing. I don't know if you, some of you have written songs before, but to share your music that you've written is kind of bearing your soul. It's kind of like you're being naked in front of people, like saying, here I am, and you're offering something that's really dear to your heart. And so for me, it was really, I haven't done it yet. I haven't done it yet because I've been too afraid. I'm insecure. I'm like, what do I have to say? What do I have to offer? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I do, but I don't. But God is just constantly reminding me and this showed me this thing. Hey, remember this thing that I've been asking you to do? Remember this thing? All these little nuggets. And so I say this because I don't know what God has put on your heart, what God has spoke to you, the calling. And I don't know if you're doing that right now. If you are, awesome. If you're not, it's okay. There's still time. There's still time. And like I said before, sometimes we let things kind of, the weight of the world weigh us down. And sometimes we forget what our calling is because we get caught up in all these other things, trying to just make enough money to pay rent, trying to just make enough money to do our house payment, whatever it is. But God has something for you, and he wants something for you, and you have something to offer to the world. No matter how big, how small, no matter how young, how old, we all have something to offer. And that living water inside of us is something that we can offer, and we should offer. And just like this woman who God met where she was, she transformed from being in hiding, being in the darkness to the light. And she decided to share Jesus with everyone. And we get that opportunity to share the good news with all the people we come into contact with, because that living water dwells inside of us. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and he calls us to reach out to everyone around us and to encourage one another to fight the good fight, to run the race. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are a good God, that your love endures forever, God, that it's not too late for us. It's not too late for us to step into what you've called us to do. It's not too late for us to surrender things to you. It's not too late for us to step into the light. It's not too late for us to give our lives to you if we haven't yet. God, we thank you that you choose to use us, these broken vessels. God, you choose to speak through us. You choose to show yourself through us. And so, Lord, we just want to let your Holy Spirit, let your living water flow out of us. God, let it spill over onto other people. God, that they might come to know and to see you, that your joy would be so prevalent in us, God, that people would ask what that's about, and people would wonder, and that people would want it. Thank you again for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.